So anyway, I want to teach tonight. You can keep your seat, and I do have a number of scriptures and things I want to talk to you about tonight. In Deuteronomy 8 and 11 is where I want to go first. I'll give you my title also, and then they can put it on the board in a minute. But the title of this thought tonight is, I Have Something to Prove. I have something to prove. And I have another title, The Proving Grounds. Okay, if you don't like that title, I could give you another title, The Recipe for a Good Life. Choose any of those titles you want, because they'll all work. Deuteronomy 11, 8 and 11 says, Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Beware that thou forget not the Lord in not keeping his commandments. When we don't keep the commandments of the Lord, we have shown we have forgotten what he has done. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy bank account goes up and your job gets better and you're got a better vehicle and your house is warm tonight and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. Don't forget these things that God has done, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. That he might humble thee and might prove thee to do you good at the end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and my might, my mind, my wealth, my strength, my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. You got up this morning because he let you get up. He may establish his covenant. He wants to establish a covenant with you, which he sware unto their fathers as it is this day. Even today, God wants to have a covenant with you. And it shall be, if thou wilt do all, forget the Lord thy God, if you forget him and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them and show them more attention than you show me, you always know where your God's at because it's where you give your attention to. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face. So shall ye perish because ye would not be obedient. Say that word with me. You would not be obedient. That's all he's asking. There's one word here. One word. He says, look at what all I did for you. All I'm asking is you be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So my title is, I Have Something to Prove. And there are proving grounds. That's the Old Testament record of the proving grounds and the how the Lord said that we are to prove him and he proves us. But the New Testament version of that is in Romans 12 and 1. Very familiar scripture. For I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't let your heart be lifted up when you start doing good and you start saying, look at me. Have you seen my new stuff? And never say the God that gave you that stuff. not recognize him that gave you the strength to get that stuff? But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Now, to prove something is to establish the truth of it, the authenticity of it, the validity of it. Many times people say, oh, I can do such and such. And what do you say? Prove it. What they're telling you is, I've already done this, right? And you're saying, do it again. But you can only prove what's already been proven. You catch that? It sounds stupid, but it's true. You can only prove what's already been proven. Because if it hasn't been proven, then you can't prove it. You have to do it. And so you prove something by following it. You follow something that's already been proven. If you want to do it the other way, it's called trial and error. You either prove what's already been proven, or it's trial and error. I wrote an example down about a chocolate cake. Very simple. But you can look at a chocolate cake and taste that chocolate cake, say, blueberry crunch, excuse me. I'm going to go home and make Sister Martha's blueberry crunch as soon as I get home. And I don't know how you did that. And so I have either going to go trial and error, or I'm going to say, give me the recipe. Give me what you've already proven. Lest I spend the rest of my life trying, well, it don't taste, I think it needs a little of this. I don't know how she did that. The best way to prove it is to follow what has already been proven. Lest you spend all your life trying to prove something by trial and error. And then when you finally get it, just like she got it, you go, that's it. Was that one cup of sugar I put in there or two? And here we go again. And so many times in life, we're not careful. We go through marriages, trial and error. We go through jobs, trial and error. Let's go, even living for God, people, it's trial and error. Let's go with something that's been proven to work. The proving ground is the ground of obedience. You know what obedience is? It's real simple. Follow the instructions. They are already there. No trial and error, no messing up. It's right there. He said, just be obedient to my word. My, it can't get any simpler than following the instructions. And so that's why I gave this another title called The Recipe of a Good Life. Because you can have a good life if you just follow the instructions. But you want to be like most men? We want to put it together without following the instructions. You know why people don't follow instructions? You're in a hurry to get it to the end. So you think you can do it faster than reading instructions, when usually it takes longer, and I always get it right the second time. And that's the only time I'm ever going to put it together, isn't it? It's one time, but I put it together twice to get it right once. And so the recipe of a good life is simply follow the instructions. Trial and error, it ends up being frustrating. A lot of starting over and never really accomplishing anything. Leviticus 18 and 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, I am the Lord your God. You know what you're going to prove? You're going to prove what Israel needed to prove was the Lord was their God. That's what you're proving, is that the Lord is your God. And not these other gods, and not yourself, that the Lord is your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, he said, I don't want you to do after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt. Don't do like them, shall ye not do. Don't do like the people in the land you came out of. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, don't do like the people that are inhabiting the land that I send you to, whether I bring you. Shall ye not do? Don't do like them on either place. because the Lord is not their God. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances, in their rules. Doesn't matter what the world does. Doesn't matter what the rule. We have got to prove that the Lord is our God. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, if a man follows, he shall live. He shall have a good life. He'll live in them. I am the Lord. If you want a good life, don't live by trial and error. Follow what has already been proven. And the proving grounds is what's in between Egypt and Canaan's land. He said, don't do like them and don't do like them. I'm going to bring you to a land called in between, and we will see there is the proving grounds. There is the place I will see if you will follow my instructions. And if you can't follow my instructions, I don't bring you into the good land. But if you follow my instructions, I'll root them people out. They're just living there till you get there. They're just occupying till you come. The Bible says the wealth of the righteous are laid, the wealth of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. They're just holding it till you get there. So he said, in this proving ground, I will humble you. I'm going to prove you that I might do you good in the end. Which lets us know as soon as you come out of the world, that's part of the goodness of God, but the ultimate goodness of God is when you get to the promises of God. That's when you reach, how many of you are living in the promised land? I hope you are. In every aspect of your life, you may not be there, but you should be living a good life. When we go through the wilderness, it's real easy. Follow the fire by night, the cloud by day. I'll give you manna out of heaven, water out of a rock, if you'll just follow my instructions. But we get in a hurry because we want everything. There's things I won't buy if I got to assemble it. I'm just telling you. I like things fully assembled. Brother George, thank you for helping me out assembling a lot of the stuff for my mom. She bothers him with some of my assembly jobs. Thank you, Brother George. I'll go to Lowe's and I'll have barbecue. But I want that one right there. Well, no, it's in a box. No, that one right there. You don't sell the display? No, but if it's the last one we do, I said, then it's the last one. I'll take it. Well, you can pay. Okay, how much? I hate to assemble things, but I will. But I'm just trying to show you that's the way we are. We want God to give us a fully assembled life, and not follow the instructions to get to the fully assembled life. It doesn't work till it's fully assembled. Life ain't good till it's fully assembled. Don't try to do the barbecue pit till you put the burners in. You've got to have it fully assembled. So all these things that God mentioned, let me just tell you a few of them. Laws, statutes, judgments, ordinances, precepts, these are all principles of living for God. Every one of them is just a simple, I've almost preached a sermon one time about the simple principles of God. It's so simple. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is so simple. You don't have to wonder how should I treat them? How would you want to be treated? What would you want if they treated you bad? Would you want them to treat you bad back? No. You overcome evil with good. So the principles that Christ laid down were so simple, and it is a good life is a simple life. Can you say amen? A good life is, it does not take money to be happy. It does not take, you don't need a motorhome to be happy. You don't need a fishing boat to be happy. A simple life can be a very happy life. And sometimes the more stuff you got, the more complex it is. And then what happens is, just like the Bible says, that the cares of this life choke out the Word of God. So now I got to go tend to all this stuff. I bought a piece of land. I got to go do this. I got some mules. I bought this. I just got married. And I got to go tend to all this. But I saw I can't be your disciple. So he said, don't let your heart get lifted up in the day that your bank account's full and you got good clothes on your back and you have plenty of food and you're eating steak and all that, and your heart get lifted up and you forget me and where you came from. So all these things he mentioned are principles. So we only find this word principle basically twice, and it's in the same book. In Hebrews 5 and 12 says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The very basics, ABCs of living for God, are the principles of God. Just principle. You can't hardly find anybody today that has just good principles to live by. And are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Therefore, he said, leaving the principles of the doctrine, not that you should not do them, but come on, let's put them into actions. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation, which is the principles of repentance, of dead works, and of faith toward God. Principles, listen close, principles are fixed laws. Principle is a fixed thing. It's a principle. It's fixed. It's a fixed laws that will produce the outcome, same outcome every time. If you follow that recipe, you get the same outcome every time. And that's what the principles of God are. So I'm trying to teach you tonight, if you want that good end, that promise, follow the principles. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't love, he said, you say you don't love, you don't love you, and you say you love your brother and you hate your neighbor, you're a liar. You are a liar. So if you can't follow the principles, if you leave one step out, he said, if you offend in one place in the law, you have offended on the whole law. The reason is, if I leave the sugar out of your ingredients, it doesn't matter how many crackers I put on the top of it or how much I put it in the oven. It doesn't matter what the dough's made of. It's not the same. It has violated the whole thing. It's not worth eating. And it's the same way in living for God. If you want to really have a good life in living for God, you cannot skip the steps. You have to take every step that it takes to get to the good life in living for God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? A principle is a pre-designed pattern. He even told Moses, he said, I'm going to show you in the mountain a pattern. Why? Because he's going to use that in the New Testament. That if a man followed this, he said, he shall live. So we come to the New Testament, he says, if a man follows me, he shall live. If you violate the principles, the outcome will vary. You see, that's... I'm back to my blueberry crunch. If you leave the blueberries out, it ain't blueberry crunch. Okay? It's just crunch. If you leave out any of the steps, your outcome varies. I don't know what kind of Christian you're going to be. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who's rapture ready and who's not. It's not for me to determine. But I can tell you this. If you don't skip the steps, the outcome is guaranteed. The outcome is guaranteed. The secret to success is simply be obedient to the principles of God. That's all he asked them, was to be obedient. I led you out of this. I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you water. I did all this stuff. All I was asking for is you will be obedient to a predetermined thing that I've already given you. You know, living for God is not new ground. Did you know that? You say, well, no one's ever been through it. No, don't give me that. No. You may not ever been through it, but I'm telling you, Christ has been through everything. And there's other people who've been through everything you've been through. I know each individual person may vary some, but I'm just telling you, if you don't skip the steps, I know what the outcome will be. God wants you to have a good life. Not a miserable life, not an unhappy life, a good life. And I promise you that if you follow the steps, the principles of living for God, you will have a good life. The Bible said that obedience is better than what? We can quote it, but let me tell you what, we don't live it. We can quote it. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but we tend to focus on the sacrifice more than the obedience. And let me give you an example. Brother, I can't believe you did that to me. All I've done for you? I mean, after all I've done for you, you treat me like that? See, I'm looking at the sacrifice that I've done for you. I'm not looking at the principle of I obeyed God's word when I helped you. Do you catch in that? The principle is I was supposed to help you. But I got my mind on the sacrifice, but I helped you when you didn't have nobody to help you. And I bailed you out that time, gave you a little bit of money here, and I helped you with a flat tire outside. Some men helped me with a flat tire. And I had a flat on the way over here. If I haven't told you, I'll tell you again. And Brother George, if you ever leave this church, well, I'm going to call you up and say, Brother, after all I've done for you,
I would expect.
No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say is I did everything I did for you was what God told me to do for you, and I haven't really done anything for you. I'm just saying. But we look at the sacrifice of what all we've done for somebody. I've heard this till my ears are sick of it. After all I've done for them, stop it. Stop it. Because what you need to look at is I did what God told me to do. That's the principles of living for God. And don't look at the sacrifice you made. When they made the little march around to drop the money in, Jesus was sitting there watching them, and he got to the woman that gave the two mites. He said, she followed the principle. They thought they sacrificed something because they put in more than her. He said, but she's got the principle right. She gave out of her need while they gave out of their abundance. But they could say, man, I gave so much money to that church, I can't believe they did that. There's people left here. Man, I put so much money in that church. I paid for this and I paid for that. Your mind's in the wrong place. You're looking at the sacrifice. Look at the principle of what you do for God. And if you don't get but one point, get that one. Every principle that the Lord put before man always has a good end. It always ends good. The scripture says something to the effect, all things are for my good. Even David said it was good for me to be afflicted because now I don't go astray. Everything works for your good. Not his good, your good. The principles that God put forth before man will always be true. Be not deceived, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you sow seeds of unrighteousness, you shall reap a harvest of unrighteousness. But if you sow seeds of righteousness, you reap the harvest of righteousness. It's just the law of the principle. That's a principle. You cannot plant corn and get wheat. It violates the principles. Principles creates a simple life. If you'll always do what's right, it's a simple life. Well, they didn't even tell me thank you. It doesn't matter that they told you thank you. It doesn't matter. Did you follow the principle that you should follow, that the Lord wants you to follow? The recipe for a good life is always following the principles of a good life. You'll get desired. The desired results will always come at the end. What I like about living for God is I know how the story ends. Not everybody's life. I know some people have things happen. You know, sometimes your children, the deceased, we've had that happen here. And sometimes, you know, I understand all those things. But your end should always be good. Amen. Your end should always be good. by following the principles of God, it removes frustration out of my life. It removes anger out of my life. It removes malice. Because when you start saying, after all I did for them, malice. It is malice. That's good for them. That's what they get for leaving me. Malice. Nobody's shouting over that because we're guilty of it. It's malice. It's wishing something happened to them because you did something good. That's what David was guilty of when Nabal wouldn't give him anything. When David, what he did was follow the principles of God. And David, the reason, I'm going to get to it in a minute, but the reason he was a man after God's own heart, he loved the principles of God. Did he violate them? Yes, he did, but he was willing to pay the penalty. All the principles of God are based upon the Word of God. When we look at Hebrews 1 and 1, it said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. What was the prophets? The Word of God. The Word of the Lord. Prophets always said, the Word of the Lord came unto me and said, and the Word would go to the people. And if they would follow the Word, it always came out just like the prophet said. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, the Word of God, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, or the power of his word. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I wrote a note that says a good life has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with a car or color or land. It has nothing to do with that. It all has to do with following the Word of God. A person who does not follow the Word of God will be a miserable person. They will be a miserable person. A person that follows the Word of God can say along with Paul in the jail cell with bonds on, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. That's the testimony of someone who followed the Word of God, dotted the I's and crossed the T's. You say, well, look at it. He was beaten. No, he had a good life. We're still reading about the good life of Paul. He said, well, it was bad. No, it was good. He said, I count it myself unworthy to suffer the marks that I've suffered for Christ. The word of the Lord, it says that his word upholds everything, even the power of the universe. When we go back to the very beginning, which you know I like the beginning, the Lord said, in the beginning, the Lord said, let there be light. It was the word of the Lord. That the first thing we know about God was his word. When you look at Adam and Eve, back to them in the garden, ever since God created man, he always supplied him with word. No matter where you go, God always supplies his word. Brother Charlie, he can tell you on a tugboat, he'll supply his word. Others can tell you on the job, he'll supply the word. He'll always supply his word to you. What Adam lost in the garden was because he broke God's word. He broke God's word. God gave him a simple commandment. If he'd be obedient to it, he'd still be there today. But he broke his word. Now, when you break his word, you lose his voice. You got to catch that. When he broke his word, he lost his voice. Because the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, would come and visit him in the cool of the evenings, and the Lord would talk to him. But when he broke his word, his commandment, he lost the voice of God. And any time you get out of the principles of God, you lose the word of God. And until you go back and take that step, I've preached it before, go back and show me the step you missed and let's start there. Because if you skip a step, you're not going to hear his voice. You've got to go back up, go back. And correct that step. So Adam was driven out from the garden. You might think, well, he lost the fruit of the garden. He lost the rivers of the garden. Now he's got a till. No, what he lost was the voice of God.
That's the most important thing you have going for you today is the voice of God. That voice that says, don't do that. That voice that ought to tell you when you say, well, that's good for them. That voice ought to tell you, that's not right. That's not right. And you can overrule it, but that's missing the principles. Where did Jesus ever say, they deserve that? No. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He followed the principles of what God told him to do and to be. And you and I should follow the Word of God just like Christ was the Word of God. For years they had the prophets, they had the scrolls, they had all of this. But finally, the Word came to us. The Word came in flesh. And now we have the principles of Christ. And we call ourselves Christians. Well, just think about, this is tough teaching tonight, but it's real. Just think about, I'm getting back to my example. Well, that's good for them. They should have never. Show me where Christ said that. Show me. You won't find it. So you're speaking not like Christ. You're speaking like that old carnal person that's in you. Because Christ followed the principles. I only do what he tells me to do and to finish it. That's all I do. I'm following his instructions. And what other people do, I can't help. I can't let that bother me. I'm following. I can't let what you do make me not follow what Christ wants me to do. So now we call ourselves Christians because we're following Christ. When you read about David, it says that he was a man after God's own heart. And it's really hard to see when you look at the life of David why he would say that. Because you look at what David did and you're going, some of you have not done what David's done. But he didn't say you were a man after God's own heart. He said David was. And he didn't write that about anybody else but David. Why would it be David of all people? Can I tell you tonight why? You'll go back and read the Psalms and the writings of David, and it's almost countless times he said, thy laws do I love. In thy precepts do I believe. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might. He was all about the principles of living for God. Did he do wrong? Yeah. And he took his punishment. And you should too. But he went by the principles of God. There's nobody talked more about the laws, the statutes, and all these things than David. And that is the heart of God. He wants you to prove to them out there that the Lord is your God. He wanted them to prove in the wilderness. And that's where the proving ground is in the wilderness. When you have to depend on God. Because that, you know why this church isn't full? Because they didn't follow the recipe. Because when they got to the proving grounds, they didn't follow a proven method. They tried to do it some other way. And the Bible says, I am the door of the sheepfold. And if you try to come up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. All that's come before me were thieves. You've got to do it the proven way. And he is that proven way. But people think there's a shortcut to living for God. There's a quick way. Oh, if I start putting more in the offering, then God's going to start. But it doesn't work that way. It's right here. It works right here. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight is in one of three places. You're either in Egypt, you're in the wilderness, or you're in the promised land. Right here on earth. The promises of God are not always in eternity. They're right here on earth. Heaven came to earth. You don't forget that. That's why he came, to give you heaven on earth. You're either in Egypt, where you're part of the world. You're in that proving place where you haven't quite got to the promises of God. Because in that proving place, he said, I will humble you. Because I'm worried that when you finally get there, you elevate you and forget me. Do you know how many people God has blessed that's forgotten God? The The promised land will always take care of itself. You don't have to. He said, it's a land I have prepared. You've just got to get through the wilderness of him humbling you and proving you. Because once you get across, he'll run the enemies out. You don't have to worry about it. So I titled this tonight, I Have Something to Prove. When he sent his disciples out, he said, ye are my witnesses. You're going to prove me. You're going to prove that living for God works. I hope that the world can look at every one of you and say there's living proof. That's what you are, is living proof that living for God works. Not because things don't happen to you or happen to you, it's because look at the peace you have, brother, with the stuff you've gone through. And I mean that. Look at the peace you have. The world doesn't have that peace when they go through what you go through. That proves to me there must be something to, the Lord must be your God. It proves that. And I have something to prove. It's him. I'm going to prove him to the world that living for God works. I want to tell you before I close tonight about the biggest trap in the whole world. The biggest trap in the whole world. Let me just tell you this. I could turn to the scripture, but I'll just tell you. One of the chief musicians of David, named Asaph, said one day, he said, I was envious of the wicked when I saw how they prospered. Their eyes are not like mine. They're fat, well, they're rich. They do wrong and get by. And here I am paying my tithes. I'm going to church. Even when I feel bad, I'm there. And look at me. This is the biggest trap in the whole world. Is to get your eyes off of your supplier and compare yourselves among them. The Lord's not their God. What they got, they better enjoy it on this world. And Asaph went on and then he finally said, it wasn't until I went into the sanctuary of God, into the house of God, that I realized their end. And I realized, God, you put them in slippery places. I thought it was my feet that almost slipped. It's them that are in slippery places. The biggest trap in the world is to begin to think that living for God doesn't work. I've heard people, one lady said one time, I'm sorry, I guess I had to correct her. She said, I tried such and such and that didn't work. She said, I even tried Pentecost and that didn't work. She said, I tried God and that didn't work. I said, no. You don't try God, God tries you. You thought you would try this to see that God was straightening your life. It doesn't work that way. You have to have, if you're really going to follow, see, God knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. If you're really going to live for God, he knows your heart, whether you're really just going to try this and see if it, you know, some benefits come out of it. And as long as the benefits are there, he already knows if your heart's going to be lifted up and you're going to say, who is God? Who is God? The biggest trap in the world, Ezekiel 33 and 17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. You choose your fate. Choose how you want to live, and I can tell you your fate. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal? O ye house of Israel, I will judge every one after his ways. Don't get your eyes off on your brothers and your sisters, other people, on the rest of the world. You run your race with God. And I preached, who's your running partner? Anybody remember that? I asked y'all that question. Nobody knew what it was. Who's your running partner? Patience. He said, run with patience the race that's set before you. Only the patience will prevail in this. God will wait you out. He'll wait you out to see how true you're going to be to your word. That's the biggest trap in the world, is to feel like God is not equal. You get to looking at other people and you go, they didn't get caught. Why did I get caught? Now, brother buddy, where you at? Hey, there you are. We caught a pig one time, an old sow pig, and he put her in the pen. We had her caught. Well, somehow she got out, and he says some guy let her out, and she got out. And this is what he said: you'll never catch her again. You'll never catch her again. Because what she's going to do, she'll stand back and she'll look, and all them other pigs are going there. She's going, warn them, don't go in there, don't go in there. I know what'll happen. You go in there. And they go in, they go out, and they go in, they go out, and they go in, they go out. But you know what we do? We go, well, yeah, I might get away with it again. Because look, they've gone in, they've gone out, they've gone in, and they haven't got caught. But let me tell you, the Lord knows how to catch you because He loves you. He loves you. And He'll chastise those that He loves. And why? Because He wants you to turn from your ways and be obedient to His word. Last but not least, He said, prove that which is good and stay away from that which is evil. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. That doesn't mean trial and error. It means follow those things. Like He said, if you want peace, follow those things that make for peace. Can we say it like they did years ago? Duh. If you want peace, follow things that lead to peace. And quit following things that gender strife. Abstain. You know, from things that you think maybe not appropriate, just adults should watch. That thing says abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what appearance means? It could be. It has that about it. That ain't right. Well, yeah, but I ain't, no. If what you watch can't be watched here, can we let the rubber hit the road? If we can't play it here, you shouldn't be watching it there. Amen. If you don't believe that, you're not following the principles of God. That is a proven principle. Live here like and the same as you live out there. And what I say out there, I ought to be able to say here. Everything I say out there could be said to you. And if you can't do that, you need to check yourself. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart as holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Your whole spirit, soul, everything about you be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you got a break. I ran out of gas. No, 45 minutes. I got to let y'all off early. Amen. But I want all of you to be saved. I think that this church is a testimony of principle. You know, I think that I hope to you I'm a man of principle. That you understand I operate by principle. And if you operate by principle, I'm only following what's been proven to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. Because the principles always work. It's been proven. Amen. Okay. Well, I appreciate that word. Well, it's what he's thanking me for is not monetary things. It's the things that a soul needs, and I can't help but tell you I appreciate Brother George. He came in here 5-6 years ago or more. How long have you been here? 8. 9, 10? 9 years. 9 years ago. And I hope that you all grown since you've been under this ministry. I have. I have. I've grown because I have to grow to teach you. You know, you don't want to. You don't want me to. You don't. I don't want you to grow above me. I like you, brother. I just always did like you. Tell me some more. Yeah. I appreciate it. And all of you are a blessing to me, every one of you. Every last one of you. I couldn't start naming names because I start crying because y'all have really been. People ask me so many times, even a lot of clients that I have, they know I pastor a church, and some of them are seeing that church go up over there and say, that's the church you pastor? They think we got about 500 people, I guess. I don't know. And they say, well, how do you run this business? And then I got other things I do too. And I think I'm still a husband and a father to some degree. And so how do you do all that? And I said, it's good people. It's the people you pastor. It's the people that in my business. Those people, God has blessed me with wonderful people in my business. He's blessed me with wonderful people here. And if we all follow the same principle, we don't have gender strife and all. It's those fires that drive me nuts. Is trying to put out fires, but I'm glad that I don't have any fires going that I know of. And if y'all do, put them out. Put them out. Because when I see smoke, I start stomping. There's a fire somewhere. Amen. God bless you tonight. If you'll rise, I'll say a dismissal prayer, and y'all be careful going home, because that nail I ran over somewhere is around that light over there. So stay in your lane. Lord, we're thankful for your blessings tonight. We're thankful for your mercies. We're thankful for this service tonight. We're thankful for the word of God that you give us, Lord. Bless us, Lord, I pray this night as we leave here. Bless those that weren't able to be here tonight in their health and their strength, and those that couldn't travel in the bad weather. We ask you, Lord, to help us not only the rest of this year, but until you come, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be careful going home.